You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and thanks for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Thank God it's Monday. Thank God he's woken us up for another day. Or if it's the 5:30 we broadcast, praise God, he's got you through this day. Now we're going to hear a message today that just started on Friday. It's entitled Holy Communion, the Right Way. There is a right way and a wrong way to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's what we're looking at here. As I said, part one missed, aired on Friday, so perhaps you missed that. So we're going to backtrack and hear a lot of that here now, and the conclusion of this sermon here. This comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul's instructions on how to partake of Holy Communion the right way. After that, Tuesday and Wednesday, you'll hear the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and that is the law of sowing and reaping. So that's what's going on here at the church. For more info on the church, islandcommunitychurch.net is a website. Likewise, the YouTube page is the same thing, Island Community Church, and our Facebook page is the same thing. Our services are broadcast live on Facebook Sunday morning, 10:30, Wednesday evening for Bible study, 6 o'clock. Okay, here's part two of this message now, Holy Communion, the Right Way. There must be heretics among you. The Apostle Paul says, so that. This is why there's heretics in church. This is why there's heretics on TV, heretic preachers, heretics in the pulpit. This is why. So that those that are approved may become recognized among you. You see, you'll hear the truth. You'll know the truth when you hear it. Am I right, Jimmy? You know the truth when you hear it. You know a lie when you hear it too. There must be, God uses heretics to expose the genuine, real McCoy. He expects you to know his word. He expects you to know his word. That's like recognizing a counterfeit $100 bill. One who works at the bank and handles money all day long can recognize a counterfeit $100 bill from 50 yards. Same as a tear looks just like a wheat until a closer examination of their fruit takes place. I personally, after 20 years in radio, I can hear the difference between an MP3 and a WAV file. It's the same thing with heretics in the church. Heretics exist to advance the body of Christ. Heretics are part of God's plan. God uses heretics to separate the wheat from the chaff. At the end of the age, he's going to use angels to do it, like we just read. I guess I should ask the question, how well do you know the original? How well do you know the original? Can you recognize a counterfeit? God told Hosea the prophet, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How well do you know the original? Well-meaning Christians have fallen by the wayside for years because of ill-meaning heretics like David Koresh, Jim Jones, or that fool in Miami who calls himself Jesus. And he's got a million followers. How can you call yourself Jesus and have a million followers? How? Tell me. A, you're a fool because you're going to lose your soul. B, you're ignorant of the Word of God. God expects you to know the original.
And that's why there's heretics, to help show you what's correct. Also, God uses heretics to purge the church, I would say, of those that don't have faith. God uses heretics to purge the church. Now let me get back on point. That's just an aside regarding why there are so many heretics in the church. It's part of God's plan to, number one, drive you to the Word. To, number two, purge the church of all those that don't have faith. That's what he does. We're looking at the corruption of the Lord's Supper. Verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Wow, is he sore at these people? Have you ever seen such a text as this in the Bible? Paul's so upset like this. For what? For taking communion the wrong way. That's why he's mad at them. Taking communion the wrong way. Now here's where they went wrong. First, we have to have a better understanding of how they took communion there at Corinth. They didn't just pass around a little grape juice, thimbles, that they bought at Christian book distributors. They had full-fledged feasts. They had much food and wine. And these feasts turned into something that certainly was not God-honoring. And probably these divisions and factions pitted the rich and influential and this clique on one side and those less fortunate on the other side. Perhaps they ate all the food and drank all the wine in the name of Jesus. And you've got a man over here hungry, perhaps due to his status, and he was not invited to this feast. So over here, you've got drunk people that drank all the wine, ate all the food, and over here, someone that's hungry and is being shunned by the church. Then in verse 22, you see Paul's response to this. He says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and disgrace those that do not have? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I do not praise you. Which brings us to point number three. Number three, the real meaning of the Lord's Supper. The real meaning of the Lord's Supper. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Sound familiar words, don't they, every month in this church? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And having given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant or new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. First off, catch what he says. I received from the Lord. You see that? That which I also delivered, meaning the Lord had given Paul special revelation about how to take communion. The Lord cares so much for how we partake of communion, he gave special instructions to the apostles to share with us what's the right way of taking communion. Now, what's the real meaning of communion? It says right here in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Have a meal, so to speak, just like Thursday passed. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you by dying in your place. Amen. Certainly not something to get drunk over, would you think? Or mistreat your neighbor? Or shame someone? God took a body and gave up his life so that he might reconcile you back to Him. That's what we do at communion. We remember that God took a body, came down here, and died in your place on the cross to reconcile you and Almighty God, just like that old picture, back together again. Hallelujah! That's good news! I say that every week, don't I? I make no apologies for it. The gospel excites me. I've been forgiven of much. That excites me. Verse 24 says in the King James, or New King James, my body which is broken for you. Some translations say given for you. Either way, listen to what Isaiah the prophet says some 700 years earlier. Isaiah 53:5, it says, He, speaking of Christ Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This is the real meaning of communion. Do this. Partake of this meal in remembrance of me. The bread and wine signify or represent His body and His blood. His broken body and His poured out blood. Shed for you. And all of you watching here on Facebook, shed for you. God demonstrates, Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrates His own love towards you in that while you were still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. On your worst day, in your worst state, every time we take communion, we remember what Jesus did on the cross. By dying in your place, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Someone's going to have to pay the price for your sins. And glory be to God, somebody did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes you want to shout. Number 4 on this list. The severe consequences. Should get Rhonda to go up there and spell consequence for us. The severe consequence. I remember the show. Truth or Consequences. For 39 years, I would take the consequence until I ran into Him. And He gave me the truth. Hallelujah. And He took my consequences for me. The wages of sin is death. Now I don't have to die because He died for me. You know, let's bring out the big guns now. I'm happy. Those that have been forgiven of much, love much. There's nothing more I can say other than that. I was worthy of death and hellfire until Jesus came into my life. Amen. Offered me eternal life. And all I have to do is receive Him. Believe in Him. Call on the name of the Lord to be saved. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess with your mouth that God has raised Him up from the dead. And you will be saved, it says in the book of truth. That's good news. I get you guys for 1 hour a week out of 168. There's enough evil out here to tear you down and depressing stuff all week long to gnaw away at you. By golly, I get you in here for 1 hour. We're going to exalt a Savior in here for 1 hour of real, honest to goodness truth. No pie in the sky. It's the truth. Jesus died for you. By believing in Him, you will receive everlasting life. And He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Okay, number 4. The severe consequences of irreverence. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord... Now, my translation says irreverently. I forget what the other ones say. Unworthily is one. Anybody else? 1 Corinthians 11:27. What translation is that, Bill? King James. New King James says unworthy. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord irreverently, like having your own worship service, doing things your own way, offering strange fire unto the Lord, touching the ark of God when God commanded not to touch it. Those are irreverent acts. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord irreverently shall be guilty. Greek word enokos. It means liable to. Liable to. Run away with that one with your mind. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup irreverently will be liable to or guilty of the body of the Lord and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat from the bread and drink from the cup. For he who eats and drinks irreverently eats and drinks judgment to himself, not judging correctly or not discerning the body of the Lord. The King James says he eats and drinks damnation to himself. King James says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, because of this, many among you are weak. Huh? Come on, louder. Sick. But I see on the TV, people get up and tell me that sickness only comes from Satan. Have you ever heard that on television? Well, I've heard it enough on my radio station to make me sick. Regardless of what men and fools say, the Word of God says, because of this, that is taking communion irreverently, because of this, many are weak. Many are sick, S-I-C-K, sick, and many have died, or sleep. God rules. You see, because of this, that is irreverence towards God, the people that took communion irreverently, many were weak, they were sick, and many of them died. So for this irreverent act, there's three things: weak, sickly, and dead. Notice the 2 points out of this. Number one, God rules over sickness, regardless of what they tell you on television. See, this was, I've always had a rub with my charismatic brothers. And I'm finally able to figure out where they go wrong. And a charismatic is like a Christmas tree strand of lights. All the lights on them are fine, except one. If you get a Christmas tree strand of lights, and if you got one light out, the whole thing's out. And the problem with what my charismatic friends, and I love them to death, the problem is they don't believe in the sovereignty of God over sickness. They don't believe God is sovereign over sickness. They believe you yourself are sovereign over sickness. And book, chapter, and verse, that's wrong. That's wrong. God is sovereign over sickness. There are three different ways you can get sick. You can get sick because it comes from Satan. You can get sick, according to this text, because it comes from God. You can get sick because it's one of those things. People get sick. You ever known anyone that's been sick? Have you ever known anyone that's died? Not all sickness comes from Satan. Sickness in this case came from taking Holy Communion in an irreverent manner. Revelation chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The people sat under a woman, false teacher. And Jesus said, you better get rid of this woman. If you don't, they're going to haul you out of here on a stretcher. And not only that, I'm going to kill all of your children. I will kill her children with death, he said. Because he does not stand for his body be being polluted with false doctrine. This is the word of God. God is sovereign. If you are sick, I suggest instead of commanding your healing, I suggest as your pastor that you pray for healing. Amen. Oh, and that's what the book says. If someone is sick, let the elders of the church pray for them and anoint them with oil and pray for their healing. And many times, I know there are witnesses in here, God will say, yeah, I mean, the people here will say, yeah, that's right, God answers. And God responds to prayers like that. That's the correct way to do it. But you're not sovereign over sickness. And I guess, well, point number two I add here, not all sickness is of the devil, contrary to popular belief. Okay. Consequence number one. I only have one. Under point number four, severe consequences. The consequence is they'll be guilty of the body of the Lord and guilty of the blood. Yikes, who wants to be guilty of that? Guilty of the body of the Son of God? Guilty of the blood? Of all the things a person could be guilty of? You could be guilty of watering your lawn on a Monday. You could be guilty of using fertilizer between April and September. Right, Jim? You could be guilty of blowing through a stop sign. You could be guilty of voting Republican. That's a high crime in the year 2020. But rather, I find you guilty. That is liable to. That is, you can be sued. The body and blood of Jesus Christ. Liable to. Now, this is a hard saying. This from John MacArthur. He says this: to come to the Lord's table clinging to one's sin does not only dishonor the ceremony, but it dishonors his body and blood. Treating lightly the gracious sacrifice of Christ for us, it is necessary to set all sin before the Lord, then to partake so as not to mock the sacrifice for sin by holding on to it. What a great comment that is, isn't it? Let me read that again. To come to the Lord's table clinging to one's sin does not only dishonor the ceremony, that is, of someone taking your place, dying for your sin. Imagine that. He goes to the cross and dies for your sin, and you're going to partake of communion and hold on to sin and not give it up. You've missed it. Someone's already died for all your sins. Why hold on to it? I mean, you might stumble again in your life. The Bible says a righteous man picks himself up 7 times. But leave it all here. Otherwise, don't partake of it. And that's why I take my hat off to the Catholics in this regard. They won't let unbelievers take communion because they're scared of that verse happening to you. If you're not going to give up your sins, don't partake of it. Because those that partake of this table are those that are grateful that someone stepped in for you and paid the price for your sins. Leave them here behind. Jesus Christ wants to obliterate your sins by his blood. Leave them here. I'm not promising you you're not going to sin again or commit the same thing again. You very well might. I just don't want no devil to lie to you. Because there's nothing that you have done that God can't forgive you of. But don't hold on to it and take communion. Don't do that. Don't make a mockery of what he did. Give it up. Leave it here behind. And I promise you, you will feel awful good when you walk through these doors here today, knowing that you are free of every sin you've ever committed. Okay, lastly, number five, the right approach to the Lord's Supper is blank number five. The right approach. How do we do it right? What's the right way to do it? Verse 31. But if we judge ourselves rightly or correctly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we won't be condemned along with the world. Meaning, you can't lose your salvation over this. You might leave this world a little bit early, but you're not going to lose. You can't lose your salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You can't lose your salvation. You're not going to be treated like unbelievers because you've received what. That's not based on your perfection. It's based on what someone else did. It's not based on you. It's based on what Jesus did. It's based on that heavenly union they had up in heaven between Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not based on you. But praise God, God chose you to be a part of it and called you and let you in on this banquet. Therefore, I say to you, leave it all behind. So then, verse 33, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you won't come together for judgment. The remaining things I'll take care of when I get there. So to judge ourselves rightly means to take time right now, prior to communion, to confess your sins to the Lord and to repent of them. Darren?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I believe in God the Father. Ha 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 ha.